This is the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons.
Broadcasting to Brentwood, Billericay and the world, this is Phoenix FM.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Like the legend of the Phoenix.
Here's the reason why.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Mr. Bombastic.
They said,
oh.
And a huge hello to one and all. A big welcome, as ever, to the show that goes like this. It's Tuesday, it's just gone 6 o'clock. It's me, Ben, with you up until 8 o'clock this evening, with loads of ridiculous things going on for a couple of hours. Great music. Celebrity birthdays will be mentioned. There'll be more on the Soft Drink World Cup coming up in the second hour of the show. We've got all kinds of enjoyable themes to discuss. We all know what date and what holiday is coming up very shortly. That may well work its way into tonight's show. And BitLol will be back as well in about an hour and 12 minutes' time, to be extremely specific. May not actually end up being that specific, but who knows? Around about that time, we'll have another competitor on the phone, ready for the most tense quiz on national radio. So yeah, don't go anywhere. 98.0 on your FM dial if you're in the area. PhoenixFM.com if you're not. If you have a smart speaker, just ask it to play Phoenix FM. But if you're listening, you probably already knew how to get here. If you know people who may enjoy listening to this show, spread the word. Let them know. Tell them you're here on a Tuesday evening and that it's fabulous. What is going on today, theme-wise, then? Well, yes, this is my last show before Halloween, so there will be some Halloween-themed tunes on their way. But specifically, the 26th of October, well, they must have known when they did this that it was pre-Halloween. I don't know who decided this date was relevant, but the 26th of October is worldwide Howl at the Moon Night. So, you know, as night creeps in tonight, go and howl at the moon, whether you're a wolf, a werewolf, a human, worried about becoming a werewolf. Did you know the word for a werewolf is a lycanthrope? I'm excited by that. But yes, so we might be dealing with all things wolfy at the beginning of the show, and possibly things moony as well. I won't be mooning, that would be inappropriate. Particularly if you stood outside the window of our studio. No one wants to see that. But let's have a great track to get us going musically. Something I always enjoy playing because it reminds me of the video. That's all I'm going to say. Bit of Shakira. She's not a male wolf. She's a she-wolf.
Not so prudent, the moon's my teacher. Now
and her student to look at the single man. I got on me a special radar on the fire department hotline in case I get in trouble later. Not looking for cute little devils or rich city guys, I just want to enjoy but having a very good time and behave very bad in the arms of a boy.
Here's all she wants in the closet.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
It most certainly is, and this is the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons, with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. Bit of Shakira and She-Wolf to get us going musically then, because the 26th of October is Worldwide Howl at the Moon Night. Don't ask me how or why they decided that. Surely Halloween would have been more appropriate. Everything else weird and scary goes on Halloween, but someone thought no. 5 days before, then we howl at the moon if we're wolves. Yes, apparently. Anyway, I did say about all the ways you can be here on this programme, and of course the webcam is now live, so if you're on Mixcloud, search for Phoenix 98 FM, you'll find our logo on there, and you can get the live webcam stream into the studio. And excitingly, as a late birthday present, well, it was ordered before my birthday, but picked up now after my birthday, I've got a new pair of glasses. I knew you'd be excited by that. And if you want to see how different they are to my last glasses, then get yourself onto the webcam. They're not that different, but they have shinier bits on the bits that go over your ears, you know. The side bits? What do you call those bits? I don't know. Anyway, Paul Milton's on the webcam. Hello again to Paul. If you want to join us on social media, it's Ben Simmons Radio on Facebook, at Ben Sim Radio on Twitter. Twitter will become very important after the next track, because I'm going to give you all the updates on the Soft Drink World Cup, and the votes will finish in about an hour, possibly just over. So if you want to get a sneak preview before I talk about it, at Ben Sim Radio on Twitter. And you can see the voting there that you can still do on the Soft Drink World Cup. Four matches currently underway. The end of the round of 16 will happen tonight. If you've not joined us before, just have a look at Ben Sim Radio. You'll see some polls. You have to choose between one of two soft drinks. And the one that wins goes through to the quarterfinals. And we're building up to that in November. So extremely, extremely exciting times, I'm sure you'll agree. Right, we need more music. We need to keep us going musically throughout the show. Like I said, it's Worldwide Howl at the Moon Night. There's going to be a lot of wolves, of moons, certainly in the early part of the show. And therefore, it's time for Duran Duran.
Sign and chance for breathing even closer behind. Phoenix FM.
Duran Duran and Hungry Like the Wolf. Before that track came on, I was worried about the side pieces of glasses and what they're called. I wasn't sure. Ellie from Beckles has got in touch and said arms with some exclamation marks. Apparently some people call them arms, some people call them legs. Get ready for this, Ellie, but you didn't know this because I've just learnt it by looking it up. They're actually known as temples. Yes, the side pieces, the arms, the legs of glasses that rest on your ears are literally called temples because of the part of your head that they go across. So there you go. You definitely learn something by tuning into this program and pogram. I don't know what a pogram is. It's a program about potpourri. Now, I am going to share with you, in between the songs, betwixt them, if you like, some facts about the moon, because we're talking about moons, because it's worldwide Howl at the Moon Night tonight. You can't do it when it's daylight, even if you can see them, and it's weird, isn't it, when you get that phenomenon, when it's kind of mid-afternoon and you can see the moon for some reason. I haven't quite figured out how that happens. I guess it's pretty easy to find out why it happens. I'm not going to deal with it in this part of the show, though. I'm going to talk to you with some facts about the moon in between the songs for the early part of the show. Don't forget, around about an hour's time, BitClol is back. Where will tonight's competitor end up in the current league table? She's the 24th person to take part in BitClol. I've given away a gender. Ooh, there we go. Who's it going to be? Now, did we know the rhythm of the phases of the moon has guided humanity for millennia? For instance, calendar months are roughly equal to the time it takes to go from one full moon to the next. But the moon's orbit and phases are mysteries to many. For example, the moon always shows us the same face, but how much of it we see depends on the moon's position in relation to the Earth and the Sun. And though a satellite of the Earth, the Moon, with a diameter of just over 2,000 miles, is bigger than Pluto. And it's a bit more than a quarter the size of the Earth. It's 27% of the size of the Earth. A much larger ratio than any other Moon to their planets. Which mean the Moon has a greater effect on our planet, and may even be the factor that makes life on Earth possible. So the moon's a great thing, whether you think they faked the moon landings or whether you think some people have actually got to walk across it, or parts of it. Good luck to them. I hope they did do it for real. It seems an awful lot of trouble to have gone to have just made it up. But anyway, some people have been on the moon. Some people think the moon's made of cheese. Let's not worry about the moon for a minute. Let's just shut up and dance.
Don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back, she said shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny, she said ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. We were victims of the night, the chemical, physical, kryptonite. Through the face and fading light.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was Walk the Moon, Shut Up and Dance. This is the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons, with you until 8 o'clock tonight on this fabulous Tuesday evening. Hopefully it's treating you well. Now, before we get some more moon facts, I feel duty-bound to tell you about the Soft Drink World Cup round of 16 games, which will conclude in about an hour's time, all being well. Although some of them say they're going on considerably longer, which is a bit of a worry because it means maybe I haven't set up the poll correctly. But I thought it was due to finish at around about 7:15 this evening, but I've just seen it may finish at a different time. But anyway, still put your votes in there. Get excited. Go for it, I suggest. Yes, do it while the show's on. That's a far more exciting time to do it. I don't know what's gone on in the Twitterverse with those polls. They were definitely set up to finish at 7:15 this evening. Maybe there's something wrong with the way I'm looking at them at the moment. But forget about that. Enough dilly-dallying from me. Get your votes in at Ben Sim Radio on Twitter. And if you just hashtag Soft Drink World Cup, you will find the polls as well. And it's all happening this evening. We have four matches currently in play, whether they finish shortly or not. And it is Lucozade versus 7up. At the moment, Lucozade slightly ahead. It is Capri Sun versus Cherry Coke. And at the moment, Cherry Coke only just ahead. It's also Orangina versus Robinson's Fruit Shoot. Orangina way ahead there at the moment. Could change, I appreciate. And finally, Coke Zero versus Lipton's Iced Tea. You would think a veritable behemoth of a soft drink, Coke Zero, against a minnow like Lipton's Iced Tea would be one-way traffic. But it's a draw at the moment with all the votes cast. That's a shocker. Coke Zero and Lipton's Iced Tea neck and neck in their game. If you want to have an influence on the final results, whether those final results are in about an hour or in about a day, it definitely won't be longer than tomorrow that it finishes, cast your vote. Please do it now. Go on, if you're listening, thanks to those of you that have already, if you're listening, get yourself onto Twitter on another device, not the same device that's tuned into this station. So open a new tab if you're on a computer, if you're on your phone. Then get yourself onto Twitter at Ben Sim Radio and cast your vote. Coke Zero versus Lipton's Iced Tea. Orangina versus Robinson's Fruit Shoot. Capri Sun versus Cherry Coke. And Lucozade versus 7up. Already qualified for the quarterfinals are Lilt, Fanta, Dr. Pepper and Ribena. Some great soft drinks have made it through to the latter stages. Who's going to join them from all the ones I've mentioned? At Ben Sim Radio. Okay, shall we have some more moon facts to whet your appetite while we carry on with moon-related music? Well, there are various theories about how the moon was created, but recent evidence indicates it formed when a huge collision tore a chunk of the primitive molten Earth away, sending the raw ingredients for the moon into orbit. Scientists have suggested the impactor was roughly 10% of the mass of the Earth, about the size of Mars, because Earth and the moon are so similar in composition. Researchers have concluded the impact must have occurred about 95 million years after the formation of the solar system, give or take 32 million years. I like that. You know you're dealing with vast vast amounts of time when you give an answer and say give or take 32 million years. Well, whether you have to be an astronaut anymore or not, William Shatner's gone into space, hasn't he? Will we all be walking on the moon at some point soon? The police think they know. I think it's important to either all be friends with Bezos, whatever his name is, or have starred in a popular sci-fi television show for about 40 years. Good luck, everyone. Giant steps up.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And this is me, Ben Simmons, on the show that goes like this with you up until 8 o'clock. How has it half hour gone by already? Don't be ridiculous. I must be enjoying myself. I'm wondering if our BitClock competitor is enjoying herself in the run-up to the show. Is she listening to all of it? I've not heard from her. I'm going to be calling her in about 45 minutes' time for another exciting BitClock. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully you lovely leg-end listeners are as well. Hopefully your Tuesday's treating you well. It's got a bit chillier in the evenings now, hasn't it? Although, having said that, I was driving down to the South Coast yesterday with my wife, and it was ridiculously warm. You know when you're prepared for a little bit of a chill to be in the air and you put the car heater up and then you think, hang on a minute, my car temperature gauge is saying it's 19 degrees. I don't need this heater on. We were both far too warm. We turned the heater down, then we were still a bit warm. What's going on? Chilly in the evenings, still very warm in the day. Well, it brings home to roost all the worries in the news about climate change, doesn't it? Is it just generally warmer? Who knows? Anyway, it was a pleasant drive down to the South Coast, and we came back last night, and everything was marvellous, so felt duty-bound to share that with you. My wife's choreographing a show, actually, at the moment. It wasn't a leisure trip down to the South Coast, no. We went down to, I went down to see what was going on there. And while we're talking about show business, it was delightful to be back on stage this past weekend with my dad, as Simmons & Simmons. We did a fabulous show in honour of the Royal British Legion, which was celebrating its centenary. It was wonderfully organised by David McNeil up in Carlisle. Bit of a journey, but we stayed up there, had a lovely old trip, and a fantastic couple of shows in Carlisle with the Staged Right Youth Theatre, with a Jersey Boys tribute act called Shaboom, two great guys who are fabulous singers. And Britain's Got Talent semi-finalists, amazing operatic singer Kieran Sutcliffe. And myself and my dad bringing some comedy to the proceedings, and it was all rather marvellous. They had a 24, 25-piece concert band on stage with us as well, which was very exciting. And bagpipers starting each half of the show as well. Some great ceremony, some nice stuff going on all throughout. We had a lovely time. It was good to be back on stage and hear that laughter from the audience once again. Everyone had a wonderful time in honour of a worthy cause. So yes, you may be able to find out more information about that on our website or on our Twitter page in the coming days. It's at SAS Keith and Ben. If you just search Simmons and Simmons on Twitter and go past all the pages about a law firm in London, you'll get to us. simmonsandsimmons.org.uk if you want to find out more information. Our website is currently undergoing an update, and in the next few weeks we'll have a slight new look to it, I think it's fair to say, which is exciting. But check it out now, simmonsandsimmons.org.uk, and most current things are updated on our Twitter page while the website's being updated. Okay, anyway, let's move on. It is Worldwide Howl at the Moon Night on this Tuesday, the 26th of October. Lots of the music you're hearing to begin with is to do with the moon, is to do with Wolves. Not the football team, I'm sure they'd enjoy it, but I haven't really got anything that lends itself to talking about Adama Traore and Raul Jimenez and all that lot. No, we're talking about Wolves, as in the howling wolves, as in the animal, as in werewolves, linking to Halloween, which is coming up shortly. It's getting a bit scary. If you're going to turn into a wolf, you can't fight the moonlight, can you?
Till the sun goes down on underneath the stars.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Right, get ready for me to moon fact you. Yeah, you were getting overexcited, weren't you? I know. What's going on the moon right now? Well, I'm not kind of sure what's going on right now. I'm just going to hit you up with some more moon facts. Why am I doing that? If you've just joined us, where have you been for the first 36 minutes of the show? Anyway, it's the 26th of October today. It's known as Worldwide Howl at the Moon Night. If you can see the moon right now, go and howl at it. I don't know how clear a night it is where you are. Looking out of my studio, I can't because the blind's down. It's dark. I can't see what's going on outside. Who knows where the moon is? If you can see it, have a howl. Anyway, the moon's rocky mantle is about 825 miles thick, made up of dense rocks rich in iron and magnesium. Magma in the mantle made its way to the surface in the past and erupted volcanically for more than a billion years. That's a long time, isn't it? You'd be a bit worried if you're at the La Palma volcano that's still erupting and going, is that going to carry on for a billion years? I might have to move. Anyway, the crust that includes the lunar surface averages some 42 miles deep. The outermost part of the crust is broken and jumbled due to all the large impacts the moon has endured, with the shattered zone giving way to intact material below a depth of about 6 miles. It's weird to think of a zone on the moon called the shattered zone because being hit by so many bits of debris. The moon is rocky, like the four inner planets. It's pockmarked with craters formed by asteroid impacts millions of years ago. And because there is no weather, the craters have not eroded. Now, that would be weird. If we ever colonise the moon, because of the planet living conditions become a bit of a problem, and we need some people to live somewhere else. If we ever colonise the moon, imagine that. What's the weather like today? There isn't any, again, because we live on the moon. I don't know how it'll all work, but, you know, something can probably be done. We all have to live in spacesuits and have 1/6 gravity of what we've been used to, or whatever it is. But the average composition of the lunar surface by weight is roughly 43% oxygen, 20% silicon, 19% magnesium, 10% iron, 3% calcium, 3% aluminium, and 0.42% chromium, 0.18% titanium, and 0.12% manganese. Good to know if you eat some of the lunar surface, you're still getting some of your daily calcium intake. Whether milk is still a more reliable source is up to you. So there we go. Don't say you don't learn bizarre things by tuning in to the show that goes like this. Glasses have temples, and if you eat the moon, you get calcium. Right. Moving on. I will update you on the details of the Soft Drink World Cup and how it's going as well. Thanks to those of you that have voted. Some more votes have come in. It's not too late. Get your votes in at Bensim Radio on Twitter. The polls are still live, and by the looks of it, will be for another day. So you're in luck. They don't finish till tomorrow. Now time for more music. And we just had Leanne Rimes and Can't Fight the Moonlight. We're keeping up with that moon theme for the first hour of the show, at least. That's what I love about this programme. We've already had Shakira, Duran Duran, The Police, Leanne Rimes, Walk the Moon. We're going to get a bit of Sinatra still to come in the show. There's Top Loader, there's REM, there's Michael Jackson, there's Billie Eilish, Imagine Dragons, Little Mix, Meatloaf. See, not constrained by genre or time of release. We can play anything. Tonight you'll hear things that link to the moon and to Halloween. Here's Old Blue Eyes then.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Song, let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, in other words, I
Phoenix FM.
Frank Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon, absolutely marvellous. Coming up to 7:15 on this Tuesday, the 26th of October. And thanks for sharing part of your evening with me here on Phoenix FM. This is the show that goes like this. Anything can happen, but lately we do deal with celebrity birthdays. We do deal with the Soft Drink World Cup. And we do have an exciting quiz for someone to take part in. BicLol, Ben's Impossible Question. League of Legends. Where will tonight's competitor end up in the league? She'll find out. Now, what else can I tell you about the moon? Well, orbiters have found traces of water on the lunar surface that may have originated from deep underground. They've also located hundreds of pits that could house explorers who remain on the moon long term. so it could be possible to sustain life there eventually. Ongoing observations from the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter showed that water is more abundant on slopes facing the lunar south pole, although scientists do caution that water quantity is comparable to an extremely dry desert on Earth, yes. Meanwhile, a 2017 study suggested the moon's interior could be abundant in water too. What about this, though? When we're talking about colonising the moon has only a very thin atmosphere, so a layer of dust or a footprint can sit undisturbed for centuries. Without much of an atmosphere, heat is not held near the surface, so temperatures vary wildly. Daytime temperatures on the sunny side of the moon reach 134 degrees Celsius, and on the night side it gets as cold as minus 153 Celsius. Could be an issue trying to survive in those temperatures. There would need to be some kind of climate introduction, I feel, scientifically, if we were ever going to ask people to move to the moon. And is it made of cheese? No, it isn't made of cheese. Don't be ridiculous. Some moon stats coming up after the next track. What have we got coming next? Well, just like I said earlier, the music can go anywhere. Worldwide Howl at the Moon Night, songs that deal with the moon or howling or wolves. Shawaddy Waddy, oh yes.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Get ready for some weird moon facts coming up. then I may accept that I have to stop talking about the moon throughout the remainder of this programme. But if you're just joining us, it is Worldwide Howl at the Moon night tonight. So, you know, maybe you prefer to leave it till a scarier time, like after 11 p.m. Why is that a scarier time? I don't know, it just is. But you can do it right now if it's dark enough. Go and howl at the moon. It's the correct night to do so. Anyway, what am I going to share with you about the moon? The average distance of the moon from the Earth, 238,855 miles. Quite far. Me getting to Carlisle and back over the last couple of days was 750 miles. Not quite as far as the moon. The circumference of the moon's orbit is 1,499,618.58 miles. And the mean orbit velocity of the moon, 2,287 miles per hour. It's weird, isn't it? When you think about inertia and stuff like that, that's the moon that's moving at that speed. When you think of our planet in the solar system, it's actually moving at a considerable speed, and we have no idea. Anyway, the moon's gravity pulls at the Earth, causing predictable rises and falls in sea levels known as tides. And to a much smaller extent, tides also occur in lakes, the atmosphere, and within the Earth's crust. The pull of the moon is also slowing the Earth's rotation, an effect known as tidal braking, which increases the length of our day by 2.3 milliseconds per century. Not very much, but as time goes on, you may notice. The energy that Earth loses is picked up by the moon, increasing its distance from the Earth, which means the moon gets further away by 3.8 centimetres every year. That's a bit crazy, isn't it? I know we're talking about it's nearly 240,000 miles away, but every 10 years it gets 38 centimetres further away. Every 30 years it gets a metre further away. That's weird, isn't it? Every 300 years it's about 100 metres further away. Now that, you're talking a bit of a distance there. There we go. Don't say you don't find out interesting facts on this programme. That is my end of moon facts for now. But with it being the approach to Halloween, I am going to share with you, according to a particular website, the 10 scariest films ever made. Those coming up in between the next few songs. Before it gets too scary, let's all enjoy some Top Loader. Still, it shocks me to realise this isn't an original track. King Harvest, many years ago. Listen back to my non-special.
We get it almost every night. When that moon is big and bright, it's a supernatural delight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. They don't bark and they don't bite. They keep their snooze to keep it tight.
radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Gotta love a bit of Top Loader and Dancing on the Moonlight. Classic track. Very, very fabulous. And as I was saying, not an original song, though. It shocked me. I did do a special show about all of these songs that you think are originals, and then you're shocked to realise there was a version that predates the popular one. And, yeah, King Harvest did their version of Dancing in the Moonlight many, many years before Top Loader. So, yeah, still enjoyable, both versions. You know, I'm not saying anything against either of them. Anyway, what are we doing now on the show that goes like this? We're talking about the 10 scariest movies ever made. Yes, this is my last show before Halloween, so let's deal with it. Okay, let's deal with 5, then we'll have a music break, and then we'll have the next 5. So, this is according to the popular film website Rotten Tomatoes, which is widely regarded as quite an authority on movies. And in number 10 in their list of the 10 scariest movies ever made, it's It, the Stephen King adaptation, the more recent version of It, which was split into 2 parts, wasn't it? But if you don't like clowns, you won't like It. I have seen it, actually. I used to be rubbish at horror films. It didn't really appeal to me at all. And then I appreciated them as a medium and as a small and as a large. But anyway, I have seen a few now. A good friend of mine, Ash, who I often go to the cinema with, he quite likes them and he's roped me into seeing some of them. But as I've got older, I don't tend to mind the scares too much and just look for the sort of filmic qualities of them and stuff like that. But when I was younger, well, I think I may have told this story on this station before, but whilst trying to impress a group of girls at a birthday party, I was forced into watching Nightmare on Elm Street at a very young age, and couldn't sleep very well for a couple of weeks after that, especially when you know the plot of A Nightmare on Elm Street. Anyway, number 10 on this list of the 10 scariest movies ever made is It. Yes. With Alexander Skarsgård as Pennywise the Clown. It's definitely scary. It's got a great opening set piece as well, which is particularly scary. Then at number 9, a film I'm not that familiar with, released 11 years ago, Insidious. Yes, James Wan film, isn't it? And it's regarded as very, very scary. And there's some jump scares. Apparently has a jump scare in it, regarded as one of the best jump scares ever put on screen. So if you like to jump and be scared, watch Insidious. Number 8 on the list. Can you guess what's coming in the rest of them? Released in 2012, it's a film known as Sinister. Number 8 on this list, there is at least one report that says it's the scariest movie ever made. It's about a crime writer who moves his family into a house where a family was previously murdered and discovers the new place might have an evil tenant already. Sinister, yes. I remember once reading the synopsis of the film Paranormal Activity on IMDb, which I found scary enough to not bother having to watch the film. Yes. Anyway, I don't think that's in this top 10. At number 7, it's the original Halloween. Yes, John Carpenter's classic 1978 film with Jamie Lee Curtis that made everyone terrified of a man whose face was based on William Shatner. Michael Myers, wasn't it? Then I did see Halloween Kills. They've done a new trilogy, haven't they? There was Halloween, released in 2018. Halloween Kills has been released this year, pre-Halloween, and then in a couple of years' time, or maybe even by next year, there's going to be a third film to finish off with this new trilogy, and it kind of ignores the legacy of all the films that have come since Halloween until this moment. But I won't give away too much, but it got a bit ridiculous at the end, Halloween Kills. Michael Myers has to keep surviving. How does he manage it when there's a lynch mob after him? Anyway, the original Halloween, number 7 on this list. And at number 6, a film based on a Japanese original called Ringu, The Ring, in 2002. I do remember going to watch this in the cinema with my friend Nick, and we both watched it with our hands in front of our faces, sort of through our fingers, because we are the hard men that we are. There's a lot of moments in that film that are just extremely unnerving. Yeah, I remember getting particularly freaked out about a bit where the lead character is watching a video. I can't remember if it was CCTV or not. I think it was an old videotape she was watching on a player. And a fly appeared in front of the lens on the video. And it was possible to pick the fly out of the screen, through the screen. That freaked me out a bit. It's never happened in real life, so I don't think there's anything to worry about. Anyway, The Ring at number 6 on the scariest movie ever made list. Let's have some music before we get too scared. Let's go back to the moon musically. Let's go to REM.
Man on the moon. If you believe, there's nothing.
Simmons.
Oh, right.
On Phoenix FM.
Oh, yes, that was REM, Man on the Moon, inspired by Andy Kaufman. And we're now on to the top five scariest movies of all time. Also, just to let you know, if you've been waiting with bated breath, BicLol, maybe slightly earlier than advertised, could happen around 12 minutes past 7 rather than quarter past. But there you go. The excitement's building to the quiz of glory, quite literally. But we've got to finish off this list of the 10 scariest movies ever made. So far, we've had at 10, It. At 9, Insidious. At 8, Sinister. At 7, Halloween. And at 6, The Ring. So, what are the top five? At 5, it's The Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974. Yes, Tobe Hooper, wasn't it? Yeah. Loosely inspired by the crimes of Ed Gein. But, yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Not something I've seen myself, not something I've been too bothered about. And then, maybe number one for some people, but at number 4 on this list, it's The Shining. Yes, many of Stephen King's novels have been adapted for the big screen incredibly successfully, like Carrie, Misery, It, we've previously mentioned, and then non-horror stuff like Shawshank Redemption as well, Stand By Me. But everybody seems to think his greatest work is The Shining, that has been converted into a movie at the very least. And, yeah, has jump scares, has that underlying tension all throughout, just that feeling of unease, doesn't it? Then, at number 3, another more recent one, 2013 release, The Conjuring, another James Wan film. So I'm not going to say too much about it. If you've seen it, you know, but The Conjuring, particularly scary as well. And then, Ari Aster's Hereditary at number 2. Again, one that I just read the synopsis of on IMDb and felt I didn't need to watch the film. It was pretty scary just reading the synopsis. Yes. So that's the second scariest movie of all time. So what is at number one? Yes, Bambi. No, of course it's not Bambi. I have to say, I'm not really sure I agree with this, although you can't really watch it through modern eyes and feel the same about it. But at number one, scariest movie of all time, The Exorcist. 1973, chiller. Yes, clearly. William Friedkin's adaptation of the novel about a demon-possessed child and the attempts to banish the demon. It got a nomination for Best Picture at the Oscars, which is pretty rare from a horror film. But I have to say, I watched it in the late 1990s and didn't find it that scary, really. But maybe that's me watching it through more modern eyes. And when it came out in the 70s, people were fainting, weren't they? It was blasphemous, it was outrageous, it was shocking. The Exorcist is apparently the scariest movie of all time. There we go. We will all have to try and cope the very best we can with that. And now musically, we're moving away from moon-related tracks to just general scary tracks. We've had horror films, Halloween's coming up. What are we going to play that's generally scary? Well, there's something that you can't fail to enjoy, and speaking of films, I'm very much looking forward to a film that's coming out in a couple of weeks' time that this tune will surely remind you of, directed by Jason Reitman in honour of the late Ivan Reitman. Ghostbusters Afterlife coming very soon. I'm looking forward to it. Surely this song will help get us in the mood, and BicLol coming next. Don't go anywhere.
Afraid of no ghosts.
afraid of no ghosts. I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Oh yes, and as promised, coming now, Ben's Impossible Question League of Legends is back.
Not true. That's impossible.
And I'm both excited and delighted to say right now a big hello to the fabulous Mandy Elliott.
Hello, Ben.
Hello, Mandy. How the devil are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right, Ben. Thank you. I'm on half term.
Yes, you're a teacher, aren't you? You've been working very hard over the last few weeks and months, and you get half term off.
I do. I've got work to do. Just put that in there. But yes, in theory, we're off. Yes. Hooray.
Fabulous, yeah. So when you say you got work to do, is that, teachers, people have that stupid idea that, oh, teachers must have it easy because they work from 9 to 3, when in reality you've got all kinds of stuff going on that keep you occupied later hours than that. But you actually have quite a lot to do in the holidays as well then, do you?
OMG, yes, quite a lot.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Now, our listeners may not know this, some of them may, which is fabulous, but we went to drama school together. I won't say how many years ago. It was obviously only a handful of years ago because we're still so young. But at the now Royal Central School of Speech and Drama.
It is, and it's moved because we used to be in the lovely old bit, and now there's a massive, brand new, shiny, lovely, huge building that they've kind of, sorry to use the word, erected.
Right.
A little bit down the road.
Do you know, I didn't know that. That's outrageous. Yeah. They still have that Embassy Theatre, though, don't they?
I think they do.
Yeah. But, yeah,
it's
okay.
Expanded. It looks amazing.
When we were there was sort of some newer bits and some old bits, and we kept having to do acting rehearsals in the old bits, I remember.
We used to get sent down to the basement to do little rooms. Do you remember that we used to do?
Yes.
I think we've got a few names, sort of WWF-type thing.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That's always enjoyable. I can't remember why we got obsessed with wrestling and tried to do wrestling moves on people. Well, it's too sad to talk about, really. It just makes me sound like an idiot, which people know anyway, I suppose. That's fair enough. But, yeah, it wasn't even sort of brilliantly acrobatic or amazingly athletic wrestling moves. We wanted to do the pinning people to the mat they do at the end of the matches. I remember that. I think at a you were at the same audition as me to attend Central. Auditioned together, and then
we
delighted to see each other on the first day because we realised that we'd got through the audition together, and then we realised everybody that was at the audition was also there on the first day. And we're like, hang on, has that belittled it?
Hard now to get into Central. I think we were quite lucky. I remember we had to do a little game, and we had to write a word about ourselves, and then give it to someone else, and then we had to guess whose word it was, and I had the word ridiculous on my piece of paper. Then I didn't know the word, you know, with yourself, obviously now.
Yeah,
I do.
Yes, of course, thanks. Yeah, that was trickier at the time. Yeah, I can't remember too much about any of the classes. I remember the shows that we focused on and stuff, but I remember one class we were all having to do some sort of almost improvised thing, like a sort of form of mallet, passing words across a circle, and you had to do an action that went with the word. And I made everybody laugh by saying stuntman and throwing myself on the floor in front of everyone. And I remember at the time thinking it was brilliant and then waking up for a couple of days with sore knees and elbows and thinking maybe it wasn't brilliant.
Oh, I don't remember that, but you were hilarious. I remember us going to London Zoo and we had to watch an animal and study an animal because you had to become a character based on that animal.
Oh, yes, yes.
And Nick was a sloth.
Which is so appropriate, it's unbelievable. Nick Murphy was a sloth.
He was, yeah.
What was your animal? I can't remember. No, I don't remember my animal.
I think it might have been a koala, but I have no idea why I would have chosen a koala.
I don't think
it's got a particularly big nose, but...
No. Well, you haven't got a big nose. That'd be ridiculous. I think while you're here, because you would have been one of the people in the room at the time, Nick Murphy and I often tell the harrowing story of when I accidentally, on purpose, pulled his trousers down in a movement class and didn't realise the elastic was so tight it would also pull his boxer shorts down. I just wondered on getting someone else's take on that story who was in the room at the time. I mean, were you aware of what went on? Or
I
not
can't
really?
Remember that happening. I think it was one of those events that happened that might have been so traumatising that I maybe have just kind of have...
You had sort of therapy at the time to put it deep into the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, let's not worry too much more about that. I suppose I've been trying to get you to do this quiz for a little while and realised, sadly for you, that you might be free at half term. So are you ready for what's going on with this quiz? Shall we do it and get it out of the way at least?
I think I am ready in a way.
Okay, there will be a slightly tense jingle playing in the background to just ramp up.
That's fine, I like that.
Oh, you like that? Good, okay.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, okay. Play it.
Right, in that case, Mandy Elliott, it's time for BitClaw. Best of luck is all I'm going to say. Okay.
Thanks, Ben.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Right, so question one.
Yep.
I can remember, whether it was at your audition or not, it was very early on in the first term, you sang a song from a chorus line while we were at Central together. A chorus line is the seventh longest running Broadway show. How many performances did it run for? All you know is it's between 1 and 10,000. How many performances did a chorus line run for on Broadway?
5,694.
Okay, right, it's straight in there, good. Now, question two. Your name at birth clearly is Amanda. You were known as Mandy to many.
That's right.
How popular now is the name Amanda on the list of UK baby names? So, I'm guessing not quite as popular as it used to be, and it could be anywhere from 1 to 1,000 on the list of most popular girls' names. Where is Amanda right now? I actually think it's all babies, so boys and girls, but where is Amanda on that list right now?
I'm going to go with 55.
Oh, you've gone quite popular still. Okay.
What was the number?
It can be between 1 and 1,000.
Okay, 55.
You are sticking with 55?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Then third and final question. We once attended a party in Stanmore, which is at the end of the Jubilee line.
Yeah.
Our drama school was in Swiss Cottage.
Yeah.
I don't think we went from Swiss Cottage to Stanmore, but if we had, how many stops is that on the Jubilee line? All you know, it's between 1 and 20. How many stops Swiss Cottage to Stanmore?
Oh, my goodness. 8.
8, right. I do like the quickness that you've answered with, and you'll be relieved to know that for you right now, Mandy, Bic Lol is over.
Yes. That's terrifying.
Sorry, say that again?
That's terrifying.
Well, I think you coped pretty well. I need to do some relatively quick maths.
Okay.
To see where you will end up in the Bic Lol scheme of things. And I think it's fair to say early indications show you've done respectably.
That's good.
Which you'll
be
pleased
to know. Have I beaten Nick's score?
I can't tell you that right now. Hang on, I'm still doing maths whilst trying to speak on the radio and sound natural. It's brilliant. Okay. Right, I do have a final score for you.
Okay.
What I don't have access to until I do some twiddling is the current live league table for Bic Lol.
Okay.
So I just need to get that up. Hang on. There it is. Right. So, question one was how many performances did the musical A Chorus Line run for on Broadway? You said 5,694. And the correct answer was 6,137. So 443 out, which is pretty good for an answer in
That's all right, isn't it? That's all right.
Yeah, in the thousands. And then question two. How popular was the name Amanda in UK baby names? You've gone for 55. It was actually, I think this is sad really, 682nd on the list of baby names right now. So 627 out there. But Swiss Cottage to Stanmore, how many stops on the Jubilee line? You went for 8. Correct answer was 10. So only 2 out, which gives you a final Bic Lol score of minus 1,072, which puts you in... Where is that? There. There, you're higher than that. You're in 10th place on the leaderboard. That is, it's in the top half. Yes. And
come on, Nick.
Nick got minus 344. You've got minus 1,072.
I think I might misunderstood the name question, but never mind.
Never mind. No, you've still... Well, bearing that in mind, you've done incredibly well. So,
thanks.
You know, there's people with minus 5,000s on there, you know, so minus 1,000 is pretty darn good.
Thanks. I can hold my head up high then.
Definitely, you can. I also want to tell the listeners about the time you, myself, and our mutual acquaintance, Nick Murphy, went to visit my dad in pantomime in Swansea, wasn't it, I think? And he had to go through a mangle as part of the pantomime, which fans of Aladdin will know regularly happens with the police.
Oh, the mangle.
And then we were trying to come up with a name of a production company because we put on a couple of shows after we left drama school. One which was seriously considered was Mangle Productions, wasn't it? Because
it
of
was.
That.
Didn't we all go backstage and go through the after that show, I think.
I think we may well have done. Didn't you? You came to visit me in Western Supermare as well, and I think it was because I did Aladdin then, and you definitely went through the mangle there because I was
like
the director of the show.
I'd like to go through the mangle if I can.
It's brilliant to have an obsession with going through stage prop mangles. That's excellent.
It's been a long time. I might need to see where Aladdin's on at Christmas.
Yeah, definitely. Forget your local panto. If it's Cinderella or Snow White, it's got to be Aladdin. Yeah,
I'm only going to Aladdin.
Fabulous. Well, listen, I will let you go. It's been fabulous to talk to you.
Ben.
What I didn't tell you is the prize. There's no tangible prize for the quiz, but you can introduce the next track on the radio if you would like
Amazing.
To, which is going to be Michael Jackson and Thriller as it's approaching Halloween. So I'll
like
say...
I've invited you onto the Halloween special, though. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. No reflection on you being a nightmare or anything like that, because you're a wonderful person.
Thanks, Ben.
And thanks. I hope we can meet up again soon. Because of COVID, we haven't hung out for a while. But
we haven't, no.
We need to organise a meeting with Idiot Face Murphy as well. It's always nice to call him Idiot Face on the airwaves, and we both know it's true. So brilliant. But you've been a legend, and thank you so much. And I'll hand over to Mandy Elliott to introduce Michael Jackson's Thriller. Thanks, Mandy.
Thanks, Ben. This is Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Fabulous.
It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops your heart. You try to scream, but terror takes the sound before you make it. You start to freeze as though it looks you right between the eyes. You're paralyzed. Inside of course.
20 thousand years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was Thriller, MJ, of course, expertly introduced by the fabulous Mandy Elliott. Thank you so much to her for taking part in Bic Lol once again. A wonderful person, and I've known her ever since drama school for a little while now. Brilliant. 10th place on the Bic Lol leaderboard. Stay tuned every week in the second hour of the show to find out who will ascend the ranks of Ben's Impossible Question League of Legends. Now, just carrying on with that earlier theme of scary films, and we listed the 10 supposed scariest films of all time, The Exorcist at number one, according to Rotten Tomatoes. There's also a film I mentioned, which is one of the most profitable films of all time, based on the budget and the profit the film made. And Paranormal Activity, which I described saying I'd read the synopsis of it on IMDb, felt scared enough at the end to not worry about ever watching the film. It had a budget, Paranormal Activity, 2007 film, budget of $450,000 and a profit of $89,376,549, which gives it a return on investment of 19,761%. Absolutely incredible. So, yeah, there we go. Scary films can sometimes make money and not cost a lot to make, which is why movie studios will like them, or distributors will want to distribute them. So, yeah, Paranormal Activity, one of the most profitable movies of all time. Okay, there's still quite a few Halloween-inspired tracks to get me through to the end of the show that I want to squeeze in. And we've had an old classic, probably one of the greatest dance routines ever, a fabulous film, little sort of trailer film that went before the music video as well. Michael Jackson's Thriller, incredible when it came out. And from an older track from the 80s to a new track that may give you some feelings of unease. Video's a bit weird. It features a bad guy. It's Billie Eilish.
Guy. Duh.
when you get mad. I guess I'm pretty glad that you're alone. You said she's scared of me? I mean, I don't see what she sees, but maybe it's 'cause I'm wearing your cologne.
Phoenix FM.
Bit weird at the end, Billie Eilish and Bad Guy, isn't it? I think it's fair to say. Now, having discussed some of the scariest movies ever made, I thought towards the end of the show that goes like this, as we approach the final 22 minutes, I'm going to share with you the highest grossing movies ever made. Not just in terms of return on investment based on budget and profitability, just sheer box office take. And what with Disney taking over Star Wars, Disney owning the MCU, I think Disney's doing quite well. I think that's all we need to worry about, movie-wise. Anyway, in 20th place, highest grossing movies ever made. This was updated just a couple of months ago. It's difficult to find stuff on the internet that's quite up to date. But this is, apparently, in 20th place, Iron Man 3. Directed by Shane Black, starring Robert Downey Jr., and it has taken $1.21 billion at the box office so far. So that's at number 20. Number 19, The Fate of the Furious. Is that Fast and Furious 7 or 8? I don't know. But The Fate of the Furious, 2017, directed by F. Gary Gray, obviously with Vin Diesel and The Rock in it. And that has taken $1.23 billion at the box office, slightly more than Iron Man. So, yeah, Fate of the Furious, another huge franchise. At number 18 is Incredibles 2, directed by Brad Bird, with the vocal talents featured of the likes of John Ratzenberger, Bob Odenkirk, Catherine Keener, Holly Hunter, Craig T. Nelson. And that has taken $1.24 billion at the box office. I'm going to get through five at a time. So next is Disney's remake, live action, if you like, remake of Beauty and the Beast. That's a bit of a surprise at number 17 on the list. Starring Emma Watson, $1.26 billion. Yeah, very faithful to the original with a few tweaks here and there. And number 17 on the list of highest grossing movies of all time. Number 16, Frozen. The original Frozen. Yeah, it was unbelievable, the popularity of that film for a new animated adventure. To do that well, absolutely amazing. $1.27 billion at the box office, released in 2013. Directed by Jennifer Lee and Chris Buck. And spawned a whole host of songs to hit the charts, toys that kids wanted, you know, unbelievable. Right, while we worry about what films have grossed higher than that, see if you can imagine what's coming. It's time for more music, more Halloween-inspired music on the run-up to Halloween. Here's the Steve Miller Band.
Stops, nobody knows. Every time
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Okay, as time gathers apace, it's time to count down some more on this list of the highest grossing films of all time. At 15, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, the second of the new ones since they brought it back in 2015. That was 2018 Fallen Kingdom was released, took $1.31 billion at the box office. Then at 14, Star Wars The Last Jedi, the second in the Disney trilogy, $1.33 billion at the box office. Rian Johnson's effort there, with Luke Skywalker seen in a less than favourable light, possibly. At number 13 on the list, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, $1.34 billion on the list, just ahead of The Last Jedi. It is brilliant the way it rounds off the films, and if you've read the books as well, it does them justice, I think it's fair to say. At number 12 on the list, another one that's taken just more than Harry Potter, Black Panther, Ryan Coogler's effort, starring Chadwick Boseman in the title role, a brilliant film. Black Panther, number 12, highest grossing film of all time. Sticking with the MCU, Avengers Age of Ultron from 2015 is at number 11. Then at the, how much did that take? $1.4 billion at the box office. Then we'll do 10 till 6 and then count down the top 5 after the next track. At 10, it's Frozen 2. So Frozen's done pretty well, both of its films in this countdown. $1.45 billion take. At 9, it's Avengers Assemble, known in America just as The Avengers. $1.51 billion. Joss Whedon directed that. Hugely, hugely successful. Then at number 8, we've got... What have I done? Just rushed through the list a bit too much. Furious 7. So Fate of the Furious must have been number 8. This is Furious 7. Fast and the Furious 7. Number 8 on the list. $1.52 billion. Yeah, then number 7, again, I'm surprised. You can see why Disney started doing live-action remakes of previous cartoon films. At number 7, The Lion King, the remake of the 1990 animated film, tried to do very good CGI and make it live-action, if you like. 2019, directed by Jon Favreau, $1.65 billion at the box office. 7th on the list, highest-grossing film of all time. Number 6, Jurassic World, $1.67 billion. Colin Trevorrow, before he didn't do the third Star Wars film, he backed out of doing it, didn't he? Jurassic World brought back the franchise to great acclaim, 2015, and it's number 6 highest grossing film of all time. Okay, Halloween-related music, time for Imagine Dragons.
When the days are cold and the cards all fold and the saints we see are all made of gold. When your dreams all fail and the wounds we heal are the worst of all and the bloods run stale. I wanna hide the truth, I wanna shed.
Phoenix FM.
That was Imagine Dragons and Demons, and now I've got to finish the list of the highest grossing films of all time, sum up the show, and then find a track to play us out. It's all happening still on the show that goes like this. Right, highest grossing films of all time at 5. Avengers Infinity War has broken the $2 billion at the box office barrier, $2.05 billion, directed by the Russo brothers. Only half of the story, really. And at number 4 on the list, Star Wars The Force Awakens, the one that Disney took over and then continued the franchise. Everybody was excited about it. Whether it was too similar in plot to Episode 4, who knows. But $2.06 billion, J.J. Abrams' film, and hugely successful, whatever. This is quite nice, really, a film that's a little bit older, standing the test of time. Third highest grossing film of all time is Titanic from 1997. James Cameron. Not the last time you're going to hear that name. $2.21 billion. Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet's love story aboard the stricken ship. Number 2, Avengers Endgame. Quite amazing. Infinity War and Endgame are both in the top 5 highest grossing films of all time. $2.80 billion. And did do justice to that end of Phase 3 of the MCU. If you're a fan of it, it's a fantastic conclusion, most definitely. But at number 1, $2.85 billion at the box office, James Cameron once again helmed it, Avatar. And they have been in production for an awfully long time, some sequels due very, very shortly. Whether it's next year, the year after, I think they're doing back-to-back creating of them and then probably releasing them a couple of years apart. But yeah, Avatar 2 and 3 still to be released. The original came out 12 years ago now. Incredibly successful, $2.85 billion at the box office. There you go. Well, it's been another marvellous show so far, and we've got to sum it all up, and then we've got to play you out with a vaguely Halloween-related track, I guess. But yeah, rather impressive. There's a lot of franchises that become highest-grossing films of all time. You know, a lot from the MCU, Fast and Furious, Incredibles in there, that was nice to see. I was surprised by Beauty and the Beast and the Lion King remakes making it in. Frozen has done well for itself. Jurassic World, yeah, another franchise in there. Harry Potter, just about hanging into the top 20 with some of the Harry Potter franchise. So rather impressive, rather incredible that most of those films have taken more than $2 billion at the box office. Anyway, okay, what can we learn from this entire episode of the show that goes like this? Well, glasses don't have arms or legs, they have temples on them. I did not know that until tonight. The moon gets further away from the earth each year, a very small amount, but over hundreds of years, it can add up to hundreds of metres, which is quite incredible. Also, Bic Lol happened again this evening, and it's fair to say Mandy Elliott, my friend from drama school, did incredibly well and has made it into the top 10 of the league table. So congratulations, Mandy. Well done to you. Wishing you and your family a nice and relaxing rest of your half term. And don't forget, the Soft Drink World Cup is still underway and your votes do matter. At Ben Sim Radio on Twitter, do get them in. Your vote's very much appreciated. Share the poll as well, feel free. So yeah, all that's gone on this 26th of October, Worldwide Howl at the Moon Night. So if you're feeling vaguely wolf-like, get outside and have a howl. Go for it, heartily recommended. Now, Rob Harvey coming up next with Synth City, so don't go anywhere. 98.0 FM if you're in the area, phoenixfm.com if you're not, or ask your smart speaker to play Phoenix FM. What about an appropriate track, having had a lot of fairly scary music, wolf and moon related, and then just general Halloween related music? How on earth could we play out? Well, there's only one song appropriate in my eyes. It's time for Meatloaf. Bye.
Tonight, there's a man in the shadows with a gun in his eye and a blade shining no so bright. There's evil in the air and there's thunder in the sky and a killer's on the bloodshot streets. On down in the tunnel with a deadly horizon, oh, I swear I saw a young boy down in the gutter. He was starting to foam in the heat.
gates of heaven, I'll come calling on back to you.
Crawling on back to you.